So,
welcome once again to Beef News and Notes, information for both the producers and the consumers of our great product, beef. While attending the National Cattlemen's Beef Association convention in Nashville, I had the opportunity to be a member of the Export Growth Committee. One of the co-chairs of that committee hails from our neighbor state, North Dakota. We have on the program today Clark Price from Washburn, North Dakota. Good afternoon, Clark.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Well, where in the great state of North Dakota is Washburn?
Washburn's north of Bismarck, Mandan, about 40 miles, right along the Missouri River.
Okay. The next question I got for you is, I just heard earlier in the year how much snow you guys were getting, and just an incredible amount. Where are you at with that now?
Our snow has actually disappeared quite a bit. We had about 65 inches through December and January, and we've been warm now for the last 3 weeks, so we got a lot of bare ground showing again.
Just in time for calving, though.
Absolutely, yeah. Some people are calving right now, so I'm not personally, but there are a lot of people doing that already. So,
well, can you just give us a little overview of your operation, Clark?
Yeah, so my wife and I, and along with one son, I've got one son that's in college in Moorhead, Minnesota, actually, and the other son is home and working, and we have a cow-calf operation, a stocker operation, and as well as a feedlot operation, along with two retail stores that we run where we sell animal egg products, basically.
Okay, in the neighboring towns there?
Oh, yeah. We've got one here in Washburn, one store in Washburn, one store in McCluskey just opened up. So.
Okay. Well, you're obviously very involved with the North Dakota cattle industry as well. What positions have you held and are currently holding, Clark?
Right now, I am actually ex officio member of the North Dakota Beef Commission. I served my 6 years as a member of that commission, and out of the six, I was chairman of for four. So, and then from there, now I am co-chair of the Export Growth Committee at the federation level, NCBA.
Well, Clark, like I said, you and I were on that same committee out in Nashville, and I know talking to you earlier, one of your biggest takeaways from that was dealing with Korea and Costco. Can you just tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Costco in Korea right now has just recently switched to 100% U.S. beef in all their stores in South Korea. And a lot of that is due to supply of beef from Australia. That Australia's in the middle of, was in the middle of a drought. They're back to raining again. Now they're rebuilding their cow herd, and there's a shortage of Australian beef. So we've really offset the supply in South Korea of Australian beef with U.S. beef. So that's really good news, even with our dollar strength that we have right now.
And, you know, talking about TPP, I know that's something that isn't going to get passed, but one of the concerns we had was with equal trade, with being able to bring in beef into Japan and the differences in these tariff rates. But from what I understand, there's negotiations developing between the United States and Japan. Is that true?
Yeah, so I would assume the administration's got a plan on, you know, dealing with that, being as we backed out of TPP. So with some bilateral trade agreements, hopefully we can get to a more even playing field with some of the other trade partners that Japan has on tariffs. So right now we're at a huge disadvantage, to the tune of around $400,000 a day in trade disadvantage to Japan alone.
All right. Well, as far as China, you know, everybody talks about China wanting to trade with them, and China is the largest importer of beef in the world. Last year, China imported 50 billion pounds of meat alone. The one thing that I took away from this meeting, I prior to going to it, I was under the impression that if we did try to gain the market into China, that one of the things that they wanted was a national ID system. And I understand, like, Canada already has it in place, and so does, like, Brazil. But for us to get into it, it really isn't quite as difficult as what I had assumed. And they talk about a bookend system. Can you just explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so one of China's requirements would be for any beef coming in from the U.S. would be that we have some traceability to them. So one of the qualifications would be in the bookend system, where in the old idea of traceability or animal ID, that the animal would have to be tagged at birth and then followed all the way through the system. With a bookend system, those tags could be actually placed in the animal, from my understanding, at the feedlot level, so that once them, you'd have to know where they originated from, but you could place the tags and the animal ID at the feedlot level. So it would simplify some of the labor side of things that people that were dealing with it on the cow-calf sector that didn't want to deal with it.
And from what I understand, Clark, the people today that are actually raising beef for European export markets, actually there's a lot more hoops to jump through to qualify for that than it would with the potential of trading with China.
Absolutely. Yes, the requirements there are a lot more stringent. So hopefully we can get something going where we get some value back to the producer for doing that one extra step. I mean, there is value in animal ID. As long as we've got it, the niche markets we can fulfill, I think we can receive some value back for that. So,
well, Clark, in closing, can we just touch on the top three things that were kind of voted on as priorities to the meeting that we had out there with the export growth?
Yeah, so the priorities that we came up with out of the Export Growth Committee at our the Nashville meeting was the adopt the animal ID traceability system. That was one of our number one priorities. We're kind of destined to increase the market access, which would be partly, you know, getting access to some of these countries that we don't have access to now, or increasing it as well. And then promoting our unique attributes of U.S. beef, you know, which a lot of countries can't supply grain-fed beef to some of these developing markets. And we know there's demand because it's a good product.
Well, Clark, thanks a lot for being on the program today and for all the hard work that you do promoting beef in the U.S. And best of luck having the spring.
Thanks, Mark, and you have a good afternoon.
You too. Until next week, thanks for listening, and we will talk again.